we have again as resources you, put them in their window. And this would remind you as you walk by. I know Israel and I walk around our neighborhood often. We see this in the window. It would remind us then to pray for that individual house or for the neighborhood as a whole. Mm-hmm. So that's an awesome, another little ministry tool that just keeps us all warm and fuzzy and remind how important the community is and how we should be praying for our community, right?
Amen. Amen. One of our online members said
we
that.
We also have a couple of really cool tools. Again, this is how God loves all of us, right? God loves all creatures. And just a little book to remind, you can pass it out, you can minister to them, you can read it to your children, and it could just continual blessings. And again, another way to stay connected. And another way, if you're searching for tools to ministry, you're wondering how you can witness, request some of these ministry tools.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And then we also have these three that also have wonderful messages on the back of them.
Yeah.
So you can also use these tools, or you just give them, I have little love balms on my desk. So this is just another little love balm.
Mm-hmm.
You give them the love balm, they take it, and in their own time, prayerfully, they read and understand and commit themselves to what's on the back of it, amen?
Yeah.
So please use these tools. You can call, you can email through our S4C troop.com email address, and along with the Bibles.
Yeah, with Tahira.
Yes. With Tahira, along with the Bibles and the tallits and the anointed oil, as long as you leave your address and what you're looking for, we're happy to send you a packet.
Amen. While supplies last.
While supplies last. That's very important, because if we're out, obviously, we can only send you what we have.
Amen.
Also, Sandy's group books are as a part of that as well. So if you're desiring that education, you can just request it as well.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to be really quick. We are rolling. This is our last week rolling into our fast. We've been gathering email addresses for all those who want to be a part of the fast. And tonight, I will be sending out information so that you can begin to prepare. We've been encouraging you guys to prepare your homes, you know, clean out the junk food, clean out the unnecessary things so you're not overworking. Someone asked me if it was a complete fast. It is not a complete fast. We're not asking you to go 21 days without food completely. That's a lot to ask, but I know that God will ask some people to do that. But remember, if he's asking you to do it, he's also asking you to let go of some things, because you can't work and do a complete fast, right?
Amen.
You can't do the whole house and clean the whole house and have not eaten for 21 days.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's have some wisdom. We want to encourage you guys to be prayerful. If you have not started to pray about what you're fasting for personally, we're going to ask you to be praying about that. But corporately, we are fasting for strength. There's a scripture in Matthew 17 and 21, when the disciples were asking Jesus, why is it that when they were praying and trying to eject demons out, it didn't happen? And he says, some of these things don't change except, and I'm paraphrasing, except through fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. Amen. So corporately, there's some things that need to change. We want to shake it up so that many, many, many more people will be rapture ready. And it's through fasting and praying as a body that we're going to be replenished and ready to go out and minister and draw more and compel more and more into Christ. This is why we come together and fast. We're not fasting for a new church building. We're not fasting for anything material. It is all about the spiritual gain. Amen.
Yeah.
What we can obtain in the spirit and how many more we can draw to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The past 2 weeks, Pastor Jeria has talked about the word fast. And we started with fresh and affection. We talked about freshening ourselves, freshening our homes. And we even talked about eating fresh fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. See how it works? Affection, showing that love, amen, to one another, showing that love to your spouse, to your children, to your brothers and sisters. Today, I want to introduce the word splendid and treasure. Mm-hmm. Amen. And when I think of those two words, it automatically takes my mind to the word of God, talking about the splendid treasure we find in the word of God. Amen. So while we're fasting, we are sitting with fresh eyes. We have an affection for our Father, amen. And he is revealing to us through his word, his splendid treasures, amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but every time I come before the word, I learn something new. He uncovers something even more beautiful.
It's more beautiful each and every time that I sit before the word. And so I want to encourage you through your fasting, through your praying, sit with the Lord. Allow his anointing to refresh you. Allow him to show the affection and the love of God. Amen. Allow him to reveal the splendid treasures in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor, come up. We're going to pray for him. Amen. That was just so beautiful. Remember, don't go into the fast thinking that this is... I'm going to be hungry for 21 days. Please don't look at it like that. Look at it as time to romance with the Lord. And that's where these words were really encouraged from, is that we're looking at it from a romantic time with our Lord and Savior, right? We are the bride of Christ. So let's look at it that way. Look at it as a way to be excited, not that I'm going to be free. Amen. Because you're going to be spiritually full. Hallelujah. Amen. Please stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you, dear Jesus, for this time together, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord, for the anointing that's over the prayer meeting that we have every Sunday, dear Jesus, that things are being broken in the spirit, dear Lord, that we are connected with you in a greater way, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, for this time that we can sup together in your word, dear Lord. We pray over Pastor Sandy right now, dear Jesus. We ask that you continue to minister to his heart even while he is speaking, dear Jesus. Let your truths be told, dear Lord. Let your truths be understood, dear Jesus. As we sup, dear Lord, as our spiritual ears are open to hear and our hearts are ready to receive, we bow our hearts before you, that we hear your word with clarity, dear Jesus, and we grow together as a body of ministers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Get Ryan in here. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
That is very true and more true even to this message that we have today. Everybody in here is born again. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right?
Amen.
Okay, everybody raise their hand who has. Then I don't know. Praise God, man. We're some blessed people. I want to say two things, and one thing I did not write down, and I don't want to mess up what God spoke to me. But what he spoke to me was, my word will not pass away. You are in a perfect position to get everything that I have for you. And you can't imagine what I have for you. But he says you're in a perfect position to inherit everything that I have for you. And he says that his generation will not pass. Meaning that from the time Israel came back into existence till that 80-year generation is done, everything in the book of Revelation will be done. Meaning that you already have heaven and on your way back with him. So God wants each and every person to know, before you met me, you had nothing. And to paraphrase God, he said, you had less nothing.
Amen.
Because without Christ, you had a mortal body that was on its way to torment and hell. That's what you had. That's what you had.
Amen.
I mean, you might like to think you had more, but basically you had a mortal body in a fallen world and an ending of torment and hell without God.
Amen.
With Jesus, he says, you have an eternal body waiting for you. You have a home built for you by God. Okay?
Yes.
He's a carpenter and a master builder.
Yes.
You have eternal life of joy and peace and other things that you could not comprehend, he said, if I told you. So your inheritance is so large in God compared to what you had, compared to what you're moving into, mm-hmm. is completely night and day.
Yes.
So the Lord wanted me to know, well, he was asking me the question, let's say something really bad happened to you. Like you got sick and you were on your deathbed. Says, would you praise me or would you be mad at me?
Mad.
I was like, I don't know, I've never been in that. He says, well, it wouldn't change your situation. You still have an eternal body waiting for you. You have an eternal home built for you and have eternity to live in joy and peace forever. You getting sick not change any of that.
Wow.
So he says, whatever happens to you doesn't change the reality of what I've done for you. You understand?
Amen.
Your present situation does not change what God's done for you. He said the only person who understood that was Job.
Right.
Job said, no matter what I'm going through, God is worthy of praise. Because Job's mind was on the fact that I got eternity with God. And God wants us to understand that. Now, the generation that our absolutely crazy churches that we grew up in never told us about. I knew the power of tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me teach you tithing. I knew how to name it and claim it. You got to claim it, then you got to claim it.
Yep.
In Jesus' name. I learned all of that foolishness, and I never learned that Israel had been rebirthed back onto the earth after being absent for 2,520 years, of which God had counted the years before they went back in there.
Yep.
And that he controlled when they went back in there. I was never told that. So in effect, I'm thinking like I chose Christianity and my friends chose Islam. Some of their friends chose Buddhism. But my family, we're Christians. And it didn't go beyond that because I didn't understand what I really had gotten into. That night I went down the aisle, gave my life to Christ, got baptized, came up out of the water speaking in tongues. I had no idea what had just happened to me. I just knew it was incredible. And I went home to tell my mother and break up with my girlfriend. And so we have to understand that the reality of what God has given us is our reality. Okay? So God wants us to know that this generation, just as he said, is not going to pass. Okay? When Israel got rebirthed in 1947, 1948, they got announced in 1947, they got rebirthed in 1948, he said that began the last generation called the fig tree generation. And you are living in that generation. That generation will see the rapture happen.
Yeah.
A lot of people will be in heaven for the last 7 years of that generation. And that generation will see Jesus coming on a cloud to destroy the kings of this world and to set up his millennial reign for 1,000 years, which is another that you get that is your eternal life. You don't have to believe it, but there's been 6,000 years of evidence to show you that it's true.
Amen.
I was listening to a... I want to call him a genius. His, you know, the Teslas, and he's really one of these really smart people, and he's learned so much about the universe and how it operates and what's going on and how to pull energy from the atmosphere and all of this stuff that he's telling. And I'm going, wow, this guy is stupid. I mean, well, I was thinking he was smart first. Then the guy asked him the question, so what do you think happens when we die? And he says, well, there are ultimately billions of universes. And since our bodies are made of energy and matter, we cannot die. So obviously, we're going to end up in one of those universes living in another life form.
Okay.
And I went, oh, he dumb. So I was like, he's intelligently stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got a lot of brain stuff going on about, he's figured out things of how God created stuff, but he figured out how to have a relationship with the God he's studying.
Man.
Because you know what he said? He said, there was something interesting that I was looking at. He said, I took those Hebrew letters that are in the Torah that these Jews are worshiping, this book that's written for five-year-olds by God, he says. And he said, I realized that those letters going backwards have this spiral effect, which is the fingerprint of God in all of the Hebrew letters, in the numerical values. And he says, I'm studying that right now, but that's pretty incredible that God's fingerprint is not only on all of us, in his word. And then the guy said, so what do you think happens when we die? Well, we'll move on to one of the billions of galaxies and continue life there. Maybe not in the same form. Maybe we'll be an animal. Maybe we'll be a horse. And I'm like, he's stupid. He's intelligent, but he's stupid. Because intellect does not teach you how to have a relationship with the God. But you do understand that God has a fingerprint on his creation and his word, but you can't figure out how to have a relationship with him. That makes you unintelligent. So God wants you to know that 1948 was no accident. He orchestrated that.
Right.
And your future is contingent on the fact that that was true and he did it. Your mansion that he went to build is standing on the pillar of the fact that God is in control of time and he's in control of prophecy and he's doing exactly what he said he would do. So why people are still shocked that Daryl Gates would call his invention the 00606 patent. I wasn't shocked at that. I was like, that's what he's supposed to do. The Bible said he would do it, and that's what he's supposed to do. So we're in this position where God is winding up the last generation.
Yes.
And we're on the good side. We're on the good side.
Amen.
Now, I want to go to the board. I think, let me drink some of that. Who took my Gatorade? I did.
Oh.
Ryan, could you hand me my Gatorade? I need it. I was getting dry. Sorry, guys. Okay. Now, let's look at this. Because this is what God's putting in my heart this morning. I told Drea, I said, I went downstairs and God gave me the whole Bible study. Wow, okay. So I'm sitting on the couch and God's like telling me this is this, this is this. You guys are in great positions. You guys are in a great position. You're almost there. You're almost where you can receive everything I got for you. But it has to be real. You can't go back. Who would go back? I'm going back to a mortal body in hell. You know what I mean? It's like a dumb decision, right? But Satan will try to trick you. That's the bowl of soup for eternity. Then here it is. This generation will not pass. That is what's spoken to me. Now, 1948 didn't just come to happen. The numerical value of Eve is what? 19. Her name in Hebrew is 19. Okay? The numerical value for star Kakav is 48. What is the 48? 48 is there 48 constellations in the stars. When God made the star constellations, he made 12 major constellations and he made 3 decans to each 12. So you have 48 constellations all together. So there's 48 stars. What do those stars tell us? The gospel. You think it's Virgo for no reason? That's the Virgin Mary. That's where it's going to begin. You think Leo reason? That's the end of it. Leo the lion returning, right? So the beginning of the star constellations to the end of the star constellations is what? 12 major stars telling you the gospel. 12 apostles organizing what he's going to do. 12 apostles or these 12 star constellations are preaching the gospel to the world. That's why Egypt worshiped the lamb. They started in the star constellation, the image of a lamb, and they said, the Dagon said that the lamb was God. So Egypt started worshiping and building statues of lambs and making lambs prohibited for anybody to touch. You know why? Because they thought it was a god, because they saw the constellations. So if you look at the constellations, all they're doing is making up fake gods from the star constellations. But so those 48 constellations tell us about the gospel. Eve is 1948, is the star constellations. And so 1948 becomes the year that God says, this is when I'm going to bring them back into the land. This will be the last generation. And so this all didn't happen by chance. The same as God has his fingerprints on his creation and on his word, he has his fingerprint on prophecy and what's going to happen in the immediate future that we're living in right now. Okay. Then, after he creates Adam, after 1948 years, his father begins to have his three children, and one of them is Abraham. So from the creation of Adam to the year that Abraham is mentioned in the Bible for the first time, 1948 years have gone by. But the Bible says there's a last Adam, right? The last Adam is Jesus Christ. So what year was Israel rebirth? 1948. So the last Adam and the first Adam counted 1948 years, and they both brought forth the beginning of Israel, or the rebirth of Israel. May God's fingerprint is on prophecy as well as on his word and his creation, right? Then he gives us 66 books. The 19th book is Psalms. The from Genesis to Psalms is the 19th book. From Revelation to Psalms is the 48th book. And if you read Psalms 48, it talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So somebody's in control. And somebody marked out the last generation before we got here. So we're going to look at scripture. And we're going to talk. Because people, you know, I'm really only your friend because you follow Jesus. Do you know that? I hope you guys know that. If you ever come to me and say, Pastor Sandy, I just don't believe in Jesus anymore. I believe in something else. Can we still be friends? I'm like, no. Say, but we've done so many things together. We're like, so? I want you to know my loyalty to you is because we're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, okay? As soon as you leave Jesus, you automatically have left me. Just letting you know, I'm just like that. I'm from Central LA. We real loyal like that. We stay with you born in, right? And I was born in Jesus. I'm staying in my hood.
Thank you.
And my wife said amen.
I'm with you, bro.
Don't get too ghetto, baby. Okay, so I want to give you this Bible study the way the Lord gave it to me, okay? Now watch this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, Adam and Eve have just sinned, right? And it says here, after they sinned, it says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Who sewed the fig leaves together?
They sewed together.
Why did they choose figs? Fig leaves.
Ooh.
Oh, because there is a group of people, God is prophesying to you. What does not Revelation chapter 19 say? The spirit of the word of God is. So why did they choose fig leaves? Because they're representing a group of people later who are going to sin, but try to cover their own sin. And that's who right now? The nation of Israel. They're trying to cover their own sin. So let's continue reading here. It says, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, Ayeka. That's a Hebrew word. It's written here, where are you? But you think God can't find Adam? You think he don't know where he's at? Ayeka doesn't mean where are you, like where I can't find you. Where it's like me and Pastor Ben sitting here talking and he's dazing off somewhere and I go, man, where are you? What am I asking him? What's the position of your state of mind? And God wanted to know, you've sinned. What's the position of your state of mind? Are you ready to still be friends with me and serve me? Or are you ready to go over to the serpent and serve him? Where are you, Adam? He wanted to know, what's your position? Bad things happened in your life. God wants to know, Ayeka. Okay, so where are you? What's your position on this? You ready to go back in the world, or you ready to serve me? I'm ready to serve you, Lord. Oh, good. Okay, let's continue. Let me make you a covering because I forgive sin. But God wants to know in every position, in everything that happens in our life, the same as you would be with any friend that you have. The same. You would expect, because this happened, I still expect you to be a good friend. Mm-hmm. So God says to Adam, Ayeka, where are you at? What is your position on this? Okay. Then he says, the Lord, then the Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to? Then the man said, the woman, here we go with the blame game. So he said, and every man goes, see, I wouldn't have did that. No, you would have. Every last one of us, remember that girl you created me? We would have all did it, right? So don't say anything about Adam. Amen. Let's go down to verse 21. After the blame game, I don't want to go through that because Adam blames his wife blames the snake. The snake says, oops. Then you get down to verse 31 and it says, also Adam and his wife, and the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. So God came along later after they went through the whole thing of it wasn't my fault. God says, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to cover your sin, but I'm going to make the covering for you. So he takes skin. Where'd he get the skin? Some animal. I think it was a lamb. And he made a garment for them, and God sewed it together, and he put it on them, and now they were really covered and covered well because God's covering is better than man's. You can't cover your own sin. Israel, you can't cover your own sin. You understand? Human-wise, you can't cover your own sin. You know how we cover our sins? With the blood of Christ. We say, forgive me in Jesus' name. And he says, he is quick to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. That's God cleansing. You know how we try to cleanse it? Well, if I work extra hours at the church and do some things for the Lord, maybe he'll forgive what I did. You can't cleanse yourself. There's nothing you can do. Just ask for forgiveness. He clothes you. Move on. Ministry needs to be done. Okay? So, now that we've had that, I want us to go to Psalms chapter 90, verse 10. Psalms chapter 90, verse 10. Wow. So Israel became the fig tree generation, right? Still, they're trying to cover their own sins. They're keeping the Sabbath. They're keeping all the feast days. They're still trying. And God is saying they have a knowledge of God, but it's not with intelligence. They need to understand that you can't follow the law and get eternal life anymore. That way is done. Okay? Now you're under a new righteous law, which is under Christ, that causes for relationship. Okay? So, in 90 verse 10, it says here, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So 70 years is a generation of men. How did 70 years become a generation of man?
930 years.
Exactly. Adam lived how many years? 930 years. And then he died. God said, if you eat of the fruit, you will die on the day you will die. So on before the 1,000th year was up, Adam died. 930, God left 70 years. And every time there was some problems, he gave them 70 years in Babylon. You got 70 years. So 70 years became a generation to man. But now we get to Psalms 90, and through all the Bible, he's fulfilled every prophecy in exactly the 70th year. They were in Babylon, and it was exactly 70 years. He says, this generation's over. It's time to get out of here. So he was always, even with the fall of the temple, when Jesus told him that the temple and every stone would be thrown, it was 70 years. And then it happened. So in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. So God was following 70, 70, 70, 70, 70, all through the Bible. We get to Psalms 90. He says, the generation of the fig tree, though, is 70, and it could be 80, but in troubled times. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at, How are we marking up an extra 10 years, and what is that for? You're finding out what it's for. So now, this time that we're living in is bringing you to the conclusion, because remember back 2018, 2019, we were like, this is the end of the 70th year generation, and Jesus says this generation will not pass unless it all happens. And then we read this and go, and we went, ignore that. We got to get out of here.
Yep.
Because that's what prophecy watchers do.
That's right.
Isn't it?
That's right.
That's what we do. We like, ignore the obvious.
Yes.
We got it right. We're leaving.
Yep.
The sooner the better.
Yep.
That's all we care about.
All that matters.
So we read this and we went, or, and then we moved on, right? 70 or, he's coming. 2018, 2019, May 14th. We're all waiting.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
God, why y'all just read over 80, huh? So now we're taking 80 serious,
right?
Okay? Because we realize we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And the 70th generation of Israel has passed. And we're still here. So that either means that when Jesus says this generation shall not pass until all these things happen. Now, what all these things was he talking about? He said this. He said, there'll be wars and rumors of war, but that's not the end. He says, then you'll see the Son of God coming on a cloud in the sky, right? And he said, and he'll take the elect, meaning the Israel. He'll be rescuing Israel when he comes.
Yeah.
And he says, even you will see the abomination of desolation before he comes. He said, because he says, remember what the prophet Daniel said. So he said, in the middle of the tribulation is going to happen. The end of the tribulation is going to happen. And he said, all of these things are going to happen before this generation is over. And we got to 70 years and it hadn't happened. But then we forgot about 90. Or 90 verse 10 of Psalm. So now we've got this generation. We still have Jesus' statement. All these things will happen before this generation ends. Okay? We still have, this is not the statement of someone who doesn't have his fingerprint on his own creation. This is not the statement of someone who doesn't have his fingerprint on all prophecy. This is the statement Jesus saying, this generation, what generation? Because before he even starts to say it, he says, now I want to talk to you about something else. Fig tree generation. Then he says, this generation shall not pass. So he takes us all back to understanding the rebirth of Israel. And now that we understand it, we understand another thing as well. Because in 2018, I was so excited about 70th year. I looked up every 70-year prophecy that was fulfilled in the Bible. And man, I felt like a genius. I came in, I said, look at this list of 70-year prophecies that happened in exactly 70 years. And they all happened. And then we waited, and then it didn't happen. And then it's like, okay, I forget the brother. Oh man, I forgot. I have a study at home. He said, maybe we should take that 80 years more serious. And he did a study on it. And he said, you know, 80 years would lead us to 2027, 2028. And I went, okay, now we're starting to talk. Because now we're talking about the church being gone for 70 years and coming back before the end of the generation. So now we're understanding scripture. I want to go to Romans chapter 8. Okay. Because to tell you the truth, I can't do any more for you concerning when Christ is coming than Jesus has already said. We are living in the fig tree generation. We are in that 80th year. We know that Israel has to go through 7 years of tribulation. We know that the church has to get out of here. So, and we know that he said, I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
And he says he's going to return, but he says, I'm going. He doesn't say I'm going to return. He says, I'm coming to take you to be with me where I am. He doesn't say he's coming back to the earth.
Right.
He says, I'm going to come and get you and paralambana you so you can be where I am. So he's talking about pulling us up. This is before the end of the generation. So now we're looking at King of Kings, Lord of Lords, creator of the universe, keeping a promise about the last generation and you not being here when he returns, but you leaving and being with him where he is before he returns. And so the Lord wants to make sure that we're ready. Okay. And I'm sitting amongst a great crowd of Christians and everything like that. But I want you to know what it takes to be ready. Okay. Because my job is not to argue with people about pre-trib, post-trib, and whatever tribs they come up with. The Bible always has one opinion. You know that? It's like, is there any other way to heaven besides Jesus? No, the Bible only has one opinion. Is it a post-trib, pre-trib, or whatever trip. I go, it's post-trib, there's only one way, and there's nothing else written in the Bible unless you try to search for it. So people always sending me stuff. I was like, don't send me the teaching of any bad teachers. I don't want to talk about it because they don't know what they're talking about. Because they're trying to understand the rapture from the New Testament, and you can't do that. The rapture's being talked about in Genesis. Yeah. And so if you're in the New Testament and you're trying to figure out the rapture, I really don't want to talk about it. All I want you to know is you're in the last generation. The church is leaving before the 7 years begin. Okay? Amen. So let's look at this now and see if you get excited about this. It says Romans chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, so what is condemnation? To feel guilty about something you've done that's wrong, right? Or to to have guilt attributed to you. He says there's no guilt or condemnation that can be attributed to you if you walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. But if you walk according to the flesh, there is condemnation for you. Because once you get born again, God wants you to walk by what? Spirit. By the Spirit. And the Spirit is supposed to guide your every day. Beautiful brother told me this morning, he said, I would have handled that different if I wasn't going through our SALT classes. Right? Wow. And I said, see, that's a blessing. You know why? He's taking the same situation and walking by the Spirit rather than by the flesh. Wow. Because if you call me Bubblehead, I call you Bubblehead, I'm walking by the flesh because I'm saved, you not. Mm-hmm. You understand? I'm saved. You not saved. God's like, what you doing calling people bubblehead? See, we're using Christian language here. So the thing is, you start cursing. I can't stop cursing. Start cursing. You know why? I'm being led by the Spirit. I walk according to the Spirit. I don't walk according to the flesh. So this is the chapter that's giving us instructions of not only being born again, but how to walk in it. And how to move into our inheritance, which is what he already built you, your thousand-year millennium, your eternity after that, the joy unspeakable that you don't stand or know about. And the Lord said, it's beyond your understanding right now.
Amen.
So here we go. It says, I'm going to read that again. Therefore, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of our sins, of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he died for people who want to do what? Is it a battle? Yes. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. I want everyone to look that those words death up, because it's a word called thanatos that he uses throughout this whole thing. That means eternal judgment in hell. It does not mean physical death. God is trying to tell people who accept him, you've got to change the way you live now and let the Spirit of God lead you in what you're doing. Because if you continue to let your flesh tell you what to do, it will lead you to thanatos, death in Hades. But I said the magic prayer. How could that happen? Because you did not walk in the spirit, you continued and persisted on walking in the flesh. God understands that I'm just a fornicator. That's what I do. God should understand. Marriage, who needs that? Everybody telling you, hey man, you know, why don't you, nah, I'm good on that. I don't believe in it in my lifestyle. No, okay, then are you born again? Yes. Well, you're walking according to the flesh, because right now you're out of obedience with God's spirit. See, this is the thing. If you preach rapture and we're leaving and money and fame, everybody loves you. Soon as I tell people you got to live for God, watch this. After this message, I'm going to lose about 150 people that's going to call me and say, I just believe that, you know, once you've accepted, life is yours and you don't have to do anything. Why should I have to walk according to the Spirit? Why do I have to fight against my flesh? Because spiritual battle for your life. The only way you got in a spiritual battle was that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So welcome to the battle. It's okay to fight. I'm not saying you got to win every battle. People who box, you don't win every round.
That's right.
But you get up, you ask forgiveness, and you say, I'll see you next round, right? Mm-hmm. That's all God's asking. Let's continue. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you haven't been born again, you don't belong to God. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwells in you. I'm continuing. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. What does that mean? You don't owe your flesh anything. You don't have to obey it. It's not your master anymore. So I wish somebody would. I done got a job across the street at McDonald's, and I used to work at Jack in the Box on the other street, and the manager from Jack in the Box come over to me yelling at me, and I work at McDonald's now. I say, man, you better get out of here. I don't work for you no more. Right? But see, I'm trying to simplistically to you. Your flesh is trying to tell you what to do, and you don't even work for it anymore. I don't work for you no more. I work for righteousness. Amen. Go back across the street. So God is like, look, we don't have the same boss. Let's read. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But is that where I stopped at 12? Yeah. Okay. Therefore, brother, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will thanatos. And I keep saying that because he's not talking about you're going to have a fleshly death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You hear that? How do you put to death the deeds of the body? How do you do that? Because the body, when you get born again, the body said, not me. I want you to know that. Everybody in here, because they didn't tell me that when I got saved. They say, you are a holy creature now. You're going to feel like Jesus. Nobody told me your body did not get born again. You're going to have to stay in your word, and you're going to have to make sure you stay prayerful, stay in your word, so that you learn how to live a life according to godliness. My body had not been born again. Sometimes my body want to do the same thing. Guy pushed over Pastor Ben's sign and walked off calling Pastor Ben's name. Ooh! Yeah. It's my best buddy. You just pushed his sign. He works hard. He pushed his sign over and walked, called him a bad name and walked. Everything inside of my flesh was like, you need to clock him. Let him have his sand, man. And my spirit was like, you're going to ruin church service for this. Let this fool go his way. And I was like, you're right, Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk according to the Spirit today. And we walked back in church and we had a great service.
Yes, we did.
Right?
Yes, we did.
I'm just saying, it was close. But you know what? Walking in the Spirit is not always easy. For as many who are led by the Spirit, verse 14, for as many who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Yeah.
We're heirs, co-heirs of Christ. This is why the Lord told me this morning, there's some things that you just said. I've given you, you have so much coming to you, I can't really explain it to you because you wouldn't be able to take it. You have no idea what's ahead of you because of a decision you made to walk according to the Spirit and live for Christ. You have no idea. Mother Brenda now knows.
Hmm. Right.
And I'm like, man, she got there before me. There's some people that know. One girl had the death experience. He's like, you want to go back? She's like, no. She said, Jesus told me I had to go back. She's like, you want to go back? She said, no. I do not want to go back. This feels pretty good. This is really nice. You have to go back. Oh, man. Somebody else could take care of the kids. My husband could take care of the kids, she said. It's like, no, you got to go back. One pastor said, if we all knew what was waiting on us, we'd all be jumping off bridges. That's why God don't show us first.
Right.
So we have to understand that you are an inheritor of the kingdom of God. He didn't just build 9 planets. He didn't just put stars in. He named all the stars. He prophesied all of our history. He has his thumbprint on his word and on prophecy and all of his creation. And he's saying, I'm going there to build a home for you so that you can be with me where I am. For how long? At least 7 years. And then what's going to happen? Oh, we're going to come back and you'll reign and rule with me as rulers here on earth for 1,000 years. Really? Then what after that? Oh, the earth will be kind of old at that time. So I'm going to get rid of that old earth. I made a new one. And the old earth is going to disappear. And then remember that house I built for you when you got there, when you first got raptured? Remember how much you loved it? You're going to see that city coming down from the clouds. And the new Jerusalem, and you'll be living there. I went, we got a crazy future. But it's dependent upon the fact that you accept Jesus Christ. And that depends on the fact that you can say no to your flesh and tell it you're not my boss anymore.
5 minutes, Pastor.
Man, I got saved and wanted a joint.
Ooh.
I was like, okay, I broke up with my girlfriend, but if I could, I'm just about Nickelback today. I'm not gonna buy a dime. I'm gonna buy a nickel bag. Because I'm trying to negotiate with God righteousness, right? A righteous person wouldn't buy a dime bag. He would buy a nickel.
Wow.
Because in your flesh, you're trying to stay, your flesh is trying to, like, come on, man, let's not abandon me completely. Let's do some stuff. And you've got to get to the point like, no, I belong to God now.
Amen.
Here we go. I'm going to get some bad letters, Pastor Ben. Then it says in verse 18, "For I consider that the suffering of our present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." The whole creation is waiting for the rapture. Do you know that? The whole creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. When that rapture happens, the universe is going to be cheering. We're getting to the part where we don't have to decay anymore. Why is he getting rid of the earth and bringing a new one? Because the old earth was subject to decay. So everything's waiting for the redemption of the Manah HaElohim, the 153. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it to hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption." So we are, wow. We are waiting to be, we're waiting for the adoption. We're ready to go, okay? And God puts it this way because I realized that when someone goes to an orphanage and they want to adopt a kid, the kid knows they're getting adopted, but they don't leave that day.
Oh, see?
Do you know that?
Yeah.
The kid don't leave that day because you said, I want, that. You got, okay, wait, we're coming back for you. What do you think that kid's doing from that day till the parent leaves until he gets adopted?
Packing.
He's packing and he's on the porch like, is it today? Is it today? Is it rapture today? And it's the end of the generation. We going? Look. I'm eagerly awaiting. I've already been adopted. I'm already supposed to be out of here. I'm telling the world, hey man, I already got some parents. I'm leaving here. See you. Mm-hmm. I'm already telling them. We have to understand that our future has been solidified. It doesn't matter what you're going through. People are like, oh, I got the corona. Yeah, I'm sneezing and coughing and all of this. I'm like, what does that have to do with the fact that we got eternal life? And we, what if we both die from the coronavirus today? You know what would happen? We get a new home,
yes.
Eternal life,
yes.
Joy and peace.
Yes.
Our future is not changed by today-to-day situations.
Right.
Your future's already been solidified.
Amen.
I'm gonna read verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Talking about speaking in tongues. Because you got to let the Spirit pray for you sometime. You can't do everything with an English prayer.
Amen.
I hope you guys heard that.
Yes.
If you don't speak in the Spirit, find somebody speaking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got baptized, I was praying in tongues when I came out of the water. And somebody told me, oh, tongues is over with. I was like, you have to talk to God. Because that's what happened to me when I came out of the water, okay? And then the Lord is telling me, use this power of this ability to pray in the spirit, because it knows what you need even when you don't. It's part of the battle, you guys. It says here, now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the spirit, knows what the mind of the spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. If you love me, you'll do what?
Keep my commandments.
What is about those who don't love God? It's like, I know him, but I don't love him. You understand? You can know God, but you don't. Like, I can know my wife, but I don't have the strength to say no and another chick's hitting on me. That means I don't love her. Do I know her? Yeah. We live together? Yeah. But I don't love her, because the opportunity to be obedient, I take the other road. You understand? So obviously something's wrong with the love connection there, because I don't love her enough to say no. That's why Jesus says, you either love me or you hate me. Either you're saying yes to me and you're saying yes to obedience, or you're saying no to what I've commanded you. They're like, what commandments? The Ten Commandments are gone. That's the Old Testament. There's the commandments go out throughout the whole Bible. And in the New Testament, Jesus is giving you new commandments. He said in the Old Commandment, they said, if you look upon a woman, commit adultery, you have committed sin. I'm telling you, if you look at another woman and covet after her, you've already committed it.
Yep.
He's giving us new rules. And I'm trying to do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's a rule that Jesus gave us.
Yes.
You understand? So you say to Jesus, look, I want to be in obedience to you. Why? Because if I get out of obedience, you're telling me what to do, not because you don't love me. You're telling me what to do because you want to keep me safe. You understand? And I want you to have an easier road. You understand? Now listen. And I don't know if I'll get to the last part, because I think we're running out of time. But listen. Being born again is obviously an introduction to spiritual war. It's not easy, especially when you got to walk around with a body that doesn't want to go to war. You understand? But still, it's a war. How to maintain yourself in this war is repentance, obedience, prayer, reading your word, doing all of these things to make sure that you're constantly in battle. The rapture is coming for people who are in battle, not who's winning, who's in battle. I'm fighting drug addiction. You're in the battle, you're winning. I'm fighting my flesh. You're in a battle, you're winning. The rapture leaves behind who? People who have decided to stop fighting and now are telling God, you just got to love me the way I am. Or people who are saying, I really am trying to stop, honey. She like, you lying, you ain't trying to stop. I know where you're going right now, right? If you're not really trying, God has a scripture that says he's not mocked. What you reap, you will sow. So you're not really in a relationship with like somebody that's dumb. You're in a relationship with God. So you can't say I'm really trying if you're not really trying. You understand? And God knows we're not really trying. So all of us, look, you have a great inheritance. And all of us in different positions here, okay? We're all in different positions in life. All I'm saying is keep fighting, because you have a great inheritance in front of you, and it's going to begin because this generation is almost over and you're almost out of here to begin your eternity. You already got it right now. And it's solidified by God that this is your future. But in this war, while we're still in Vietnam, while we're still at war, fight.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Hold on.
Hold on. Say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye to everybody.
Good night.